Some people have a higher threshold of pain than others, and this week scientists reported an advance in understanding why. NPR's Richard Knox reports that they're finding that pain really is mostly in your head, though not in the way that's usually meant.
Shirley Young is a bus attendant for a Maryland school system, but constant pain in her back and legs has kept her from working since last July. She's undergone surgery and taken pain medication. Neither has helped much. Last week, she was at Georgetown University Hospital in Washington, where pain specialist Veronica Mitchell was trying something else.
Good morning, Ms. Young. I know you're here for your procedure this morning, and I'm going to review your history, and then once the OR is ready to go, then we'll bring you in, okay? How would you rate your pain today on a scale of 0 to 10?
I would say it's about a 6 today.
Pain is a private, subjective thing. That makes it a challenge for doctors to pin down.
What's your baseline pain? On average, what number would you give your pain at home?
All depending on what, you know, like if I do a lot of walking, it's close to a 10.
Doctors know pain waxes and wanes, even when the underlying condition stays the same. And people with the same physical conditions have radically different pain, from none at all to disabling. At Wake Forest University in North Carolina, neuroscientist Robert Coghill and his colleagues are trying to understand this conundrum.
A patient's feelings of pain are theirs, but if two individuals report very, very different pain, how do you really know that one individual is indeed experiencing more pain than another?
To find out, Coghill put volunteers into a magnetic resonance imaging machine, a kind of brain scanner, then subjected them all to precisely the same amount of pain. A small metal plate was taped to subjects' legs, then heated to 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
Our most sensitive subject said, if this would have been the slightest bit more painful, I would have had to have withdrawn from the study. It was just too much. Our least sensitive subject said, I heard this was going to hurt. This is nothing.
These subjective reports of pain corresponded to the activity in three areas of the volunteers' brains where pain is processed. People who shrugged off pain had much less activity in these higher brain centers. Sensitive souls had much more. But everybody had the same amount of activity in the thalamus, a structure that relays nerve impulses from the body. In other words, pain does not depend so much on the stimulus, but on the brain's response to a given stimulus. Coghill says past experiences and expectations have a lot to do with it. In another study, a volunteer had capsaicin, the active ingredient in chili peppers, injected under his skin. That stings for most people, but not for this guy. Coghill says it turned out he'd been a beekeeper's assistant as a youth.
So he was very used to the stinging sensation from the bees. That sensation was very much like the capsaicin, whereas he was very, very sensitive to heat.
The Wake Forest findings appear in the current proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Coghill says it's the first time anybody has shown that differences in pain sensitivity have a basis in the brain. Dr. Mitchell at Georgetown says that's very useful.
The first step in caring for the patient is just believing that their pain is at the level that they describe. We really haven't had objective measures to do that.
One implication of Coghill's study is that doctors can believe patients' reports of pain. They have a physiologic basis. Another implication, some patients may benefit from psychotherapy. That's because the pain centers of the brain are so effective, at least in some people, at blunting pain. When medication and surgery don't do the job, Mitchell sometimes tells her patients they might try psychotherapy.
Their first response is, well, I'm not crazy. I'm not making up my pain. And so I explain that that is not the reason I am sending you or recommending you to see a psychiatrist.
But for now, Mitchell is about to inject anti-inflammatory medicine into Shirley Young's hip joints. It turns out that's the source of her current pain.
This particular procedure is pretty quick. We're going to make the injection, Ms. Young, and you may feel a little bit of pressure. And we'll be done in a few minutes.
Later in the recovery room, Mitchell does yet another pain assessment.
Everything went very well, very smoothly, no problems. And I wanted to ask you now, on a scale of 0 to 10, again, 10 being the worst pain you've ever had, how would you rate your pain?
About 2 to 3.
So much better than when you came in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shirley Young faces at least two more trips to the operating room over the next few months to get her hips re-injected. That may work. It may not. Researchers may be understanding more about pain in the brain, but as Mitchell can tell you, pain is still, and often, a medical mystery. Richard Knox, NPR News, Washington.